introduction to this fall spiritual growth campaign that we are all on together. And last week we kind of kicked it off. This week will be part two, and next week we'll start a six-week series, essentially, that will correspond with what we're learning together in our small groups. So as a church, what we're going to do is take 6 weeks, 40 days, actually 42 days, to focus together on a few subjects so that we can all grow spiritually together in an intense way. And during the next 6 weeks or 12 weeks, however you decide to do it in your small groups, most of you will be looking at some DVD sessions, six sessions that focus on what on earth am I here for? What has God made me for? What is my purpose on this earth? What is my calling in life? And if you're not in a group, obviously, you're going to want to get in a group for that six-week period. And then you're also going to hear six messages from your pastoral staff here on this same subject that parallel our small group studies. And then what we're going to do, hopefully, is practice what we learn as a church. Not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word also, encouraging each other in action as we figure out what it is that God has made us for. And the cool thing is, we're not just doing this as the adults in our church. Our high school students are also going through a parallel study. And what I would encourage you to do is to talk to your children about what we are learning together. Talk to your teenagers about what we're learning together so that we can all be growing together toward Christ-likeness. So with all that said, you've got your sermon outlines ready. Let's pray. Let's pray and then continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, the chance to study your word together. Together to learn the way to a wise life. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me by your Holy Spirit, that you would prepare our hearts to receive what you have to say to us through your word. And Lord, I pray that we would leave here this morning changed to become more and more the people you've called us to be in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this week I want to start with one simple question. One simple question. And that question that I want to ask you is this. If God were to say to you, I'd like to give you anything that you want in life. Just name one thing and I will give that to you. What would your answer be? It's a rhetorical question, but think about that. What would your answer be to that question? Maybe I'd like fewer problems. I'd like to be married. I'd like to be out of debt. I'd like to know where my life is going. Now, what I would say is that I doubt many of you would ask for what Solomon asked for. Solomon, who was the king of Israel, he was King David's son, and so after King David's reign, Solomon took over the kingdom. And this was a question that was actually asked by God to Solomon. And Solomon's response is something that we should all take note of. It's extremely interesting and insightful. God actually came to Solomon and asked him one day, "What would you like in life, Solomon? Name one thing. I will give that to you." And Solomon didn't ask for wealth, he didn't ask for power, he didn't ask for good looks or prestige or any of that. He said, God, I want wisdom. I want to be wise. I want you to make me the wisest man in the world. Wisdom, really? If God were to ask you that question, if he were to ask me that question, I don't think my answer would be wisdom. I mean, I'm sure it would be on the list, but I'd have a couple other things and then maybe wisdom down there, three or four. And if we're honest, we're probably in the same boat. We would ask for other things above this. But Solomon, out of all the things he could have asked God for, he said, God, I want you to make me wise. And God loved that. God was so impressed with that request. He was so touched by that request that he said, Solomon, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to make you wise. And not only that, I love that request so much, I'm also going to give you wealth, I'm going to give you power, I'm going to give you prestige, and I'm going to make you essentially the wealthiest, most powerful man of his day. And as we look at biblical history, Solomon was just that. He was an amazing person. And it's because he asked wisely. God loved his request so much because he asked wisely. So we don't understand just how important wisdom is to God. Just how important this is to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing else that I could ever want is as valuable as wisdom. Do we believe that? It says it's more precious than rubies. Now, I don't know what the value of rubies are. I doubt if any of you really know the specific value of rubies right now, but just to kind of put this in perspective, I did a little research the other day and looked up the value of gold right now. And the value of a gram of gold is about $40 or $41.25, actually. But if you were to get a gram of rubies, which a gram is about 5 carats of rubies, divide that up however you want, that's worth about $50,000. A gram of rubies. That is exponentially more valuable than gold. It's even more valuable than diamonds. And God is saying wisdom is far more valuable to your life than just about anything. It's more valuable than you could possibly imagine. And if you would get wisdom in your life, it would bless you in every area of your life. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is simply seeing life from God's perspective. Seeing and walking through life from God's perspective. It's not knowledge. You can get knowledge a lot of places. You can go to school, you can get a degree, you can get all kinds of graduate degrees, you can get a lot of knowledge, but a person can be knowledgeable and not wise. A person can be educated and not wise. And so what we're going to do this morning is look at two things. Why is wisdom so important? Why does it matter to God? Why should it matter to us? And secondly, how do we get it? So just a two-part outline. What is wisdom? Why is it so important? And how do we get it? So fortunately for us, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he wrote us a book about it. It's called the Book of Proverbs. So if you open up your Bible directly to the middle of your Bible, you will find yourself in Proverbs, right in the middle of your Bible. And in the book of Proverbs, it's a book that is all about how to live wisely. And there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So just a simple thing you can do is take a month, and every day that month, read one chapter from Proverbs. And you'll be done with Proverbs within that month, and I guarantee you, you will grow in wisdom. Because it is chock full of wise sayings and so much wisdom from God. And what we see in Proverbs is that over and over again, God stresses the importance of wisdom. He stresses the power of wisdom. He stresses that it should be a top priority in your life. Because if you get wisdom, it's going to affect every area of your life for better. Proverbs 9:12 says this, "If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer." Why is that? Well, because most of the bad things that happen to us in life, often those are because of our foolish decisions. And if we just had wisdom, we would avoid many of the heartaches in life. The reason you have financial problems may be because you made foolish financial decisions. The reason you have relational problems may be because you've made foolish relational decisions. And the wisdom that is contained in Scripture is the wisdom that will give us God's perspective on life that will help us to navigate these mistakes that we make because of our lack of wisdom. In other words, I make decisions with my money that may seem right to me, but the Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, to women, to human beings, but in the end it leads to death, it leads to destruction. So I make decisions with my money that may seem right to me, but they're not God's will for my life. They're not based in His wisdom. And so it goes poorly for me. I make decisions in my relationships that may seem right to me in my flesh, but they're not wise decisions. And as a result, I run into dead ends. I run into negative consequences. They are foolish decisions. And because we lack wisdom, we run up against dead ends. So the book of Proverbs, it goes on to list so many benefits for wisdom. I know you guys already believe this, but we're going to look at a few benefits of wisdom. We're just going to look at these quickly. I'm going to kind of read through them, not comment on them a lot. And what I'd like you to do on your outlines on page one is to just circle, highlight, underline, whatever you need to do, the benefits of wisdom that you see in these verses in Proverbs. And we're just going to do a few of them, just about 15 benefits. So let me read them quickly. Proverbs 24:14, wisdom is good and sweet like honey to the soul. If you find it, there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off. In other words, it's good for your soul and you will have a bright future. Do you want to succeed in life? Whatever that means, look at what Proverbs says in Proverbs 19:8. The one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. So if you want to prosper, it's simple. Wise up. Get wise. Learn wisdom. Proverbs 4:8 says, if you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. So in the first few verses, we see wisdom's good for your soul. It will give you a bright future. It will cause you to prosper. It will make you great, and it will give you honor. Sound pretty good? Does that have your attention yet? Okay. How many of you would say, I don't have time to get done everything that I need to get done in life? Yeah, most of us. Well, according to the Bible, that's a wisdom issue. That's a wisdom issue. This next verse says, for by me, wisdom, Your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. So what's he saying here? He's saying it will multiply your days. When you are wise, the wiser you are, the wiser you will spend your time. And the better you manage your time, the more time you will have. So the reason we don't have enough time often is because we make unwise decisions with our time. So time management is a wisdom issue. It is a wisdom issue. And not only that, but God gives this promise. He says that if you live wisely, then you are going to live longer. Man, that's a great promise. Now you've got my attention, right? Proverbs 24:5 says, a wise man is full of strength. Full of strength. The more wisdom you have, the more strength you have in your life. Proverbs 3:35 says, the wise will inherit honor. So the wiser you are, the more people are going to like you, the more people are going to respect you, the more your reputation is going to be honored, because you're not foolish, you're wise. Let me ask you another question. How many of you would like the next 12 months of your life to be better than the last 12 months? Anyone? Okay, someone's hand shot up over there. Sorry, I'm sorry, bro, I'm praying for you. This is an encouragement here. It says, the path of life leads upward for the prudent. The path of life leads upward for the prudent. So if you want this year to be better than next year, get wise. Get wise, because the path of life goes upward for the prudent. If I'm wiser this year, I'm not going to make the same mistakes as last year. If I'm not repeating the errors of my past, I'm going to have a better year this year than last year. As I move upward, not towards my own personal gain, not towards my own personal success, but toward Christ-likeness. That's what that upward path of wisdom is. It's becoming more like Jesus Christ. And don't we all want that? One more here. Proverbs 4:12 says, when you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. You're not going to make any mistakes when you run, or not as many mistakes when you run. Now here's the thing. Wisdom, we expect it to give us God's perspective, and what we think that means is that we are going to be able to see the entire road ahead as God does. We'll be able to see why everything happens in life and what potholes are approaching us and where the curves in the road are, but that's not what wisdom does. When God gives us this perspective through wisdom, what it does is it gives us the skill, the ability to navigate the curves, the twists, the potholes of life as they come. Apart from wisdom, we don't know how to do that. And we're in big trouble. But with wisdom, we can navigate the road as it comes. Now, friends, those benefits that I just listed to you, those are so over the top. Like, it's so over the top that if it wasn't in the Bible, it would sound like an infomercial, right? We've got, this product will give you a long life. It will make you prosperous. It will bring you honor. It will make your life pleasant and easier than before. But wait, there's more. It will lead you safely through the problems of your life. It will make you happy. It will cause you to experience life as it was meant to be lived. Right? And we hear that and we're like, come on, that's a little over the top. That's unrealistic. But I didn't say it. God said it. God says it in his word. This is what God says is the result of living wisely. And so that's what we're going to focus on over the next 6 weeks. Living wisely, living Christ-centered lives. And if we do that, these things can be true in your life. That's the promise of Scripture. So my question is, if we believe this, that wisdom will improve our lives in all these days, that there are so many benefits, why don't we live more wisely? And why don't we seek more wisdom? I'll tell you, the answer is it's harder. It's harder to live a wise life. It is quite easy to make foolish decisions, right? It's quite difficult to make wise decisions. Like everything else in life, wisdom is a choice. Happiness is a choice. Being close to God is a choice. And success is just a series of making wise choices. So wisdom is a choice. You've got to choose to be wise. Because we are not by nature wise people. By nature, we do the dumb thing, right? We do the foolish thing. We do the easy thing. You didn't come out of the womb making great decisions. Wisdom has to be learned. Because you can go to school for the rest of your life and not learn wisdom. You can read all kinds of books and not learn wisdom, because wisdom is seeing life from God's viewpoint. So you got to make a choice to learn. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:5, get wisdom. Get it. Get wisdom and get insight. That's a choice. You don't have to do it. You don't have to learn wisdom. You don't have to. It's your choice. And here's the truth. You are never too old to become wise. You are never too old to become wise. If your heart is beating, you can become wiser. And you are never too young to be wise. You are never too young. Wisdom has absolutely nothing to do with your age. You can be old and you can be a fool. You can be young and you can be wise. Now, would you agree with me? It's possible to grow older without growing up. Would you agree? That's possible. It's possible to grow older without growing up. Everyone agree with that? Don't look at them. Come on. You can grow older without growing up. A lot of people grow up, but many people stay as spiritual babies. Or you can be a young person and you can be full of wisdom because you're doing the things that make you wise, but it is never too early and it is never too late to get wisdom. So how do I learn to be wise? Now we're going to look at five ways that we see in Proverbs to be wise. And the Bible is very specific that if you do certain things, you are going to grow in your wisdom. And if you make certain choices, you are going to become wiser and wiser. So what we're going to do is look at five ways to become wise. And just for fun, these are in a nice little acrostic for you. L-E-A-R-N. Learn. Learn, okay? So let's look at the first thing. If I want to be wise, what I must do. The L in learn stands for I must listen to God's word every day. I must listen to God's word every day. Not just listen to the television, not just listen to the radio, not just read and listen to what's on social media or on the internet. I've got to listen to God's word every day because that's where wisdom comes from. Proverbs 1:7, it says, start with God. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because wisdom comes from God. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So you don't get it from television, you don't get it from the internet, you don't get it from magazines. Wisdom comes from God. So let me ask you this, how many of you believe everything that you read in the newspaper? No one. Okay. How many of you believe everything that you see on the television? No? Okay. How many of you believe everything that you read on social media or in email forwards? I should be seeing some hands on that one. I'm telling you. No, we don't believe that. We don't believe everything that we see in media. But how many of you believe that the Word of God is true? So question, why do we spend more time reading things that are not true than things that are? Think about that. We need to listen to God's word every day because wisdom comes from God. I mean, are you really going to become wiser reading about the Kardashians? No. In fact, they're probably going to make you dumber. You're going to become more foolish. And there are a lot of things that you can read about in life that won't build your wisdom. They just keep you pretty much about the same. So we've got to start with the Word of God. We've got to start with the Bible. And during the next 6 weeks, over the next 42 days, what I'd encourage you to do is to reestablish a habit in your life called a daily quiet time. And what that is, if you're unfamiliar with it, is you spend, just to start with, just 5 to 10 minutes a day, just being quiet before the Lord, with your Bible. Read some scripture or read a devotional that's based on scripture and then spend a few minutes in prayer before God. That's how you begin to listen to God's word every day. That's how you begin to hear from God. And many of you have done this in the past and you become discouraged, you know, it became hard for you and then you've kind of fallen off the wagon, you've given up, and so you're not doing it. But if you're not growing in wisdom today, it's because you're not spending time with the God of the universe that loves you, that wants a relationship with you, that wants to be connected with you. So we're going to reestablish that connection. And I'd ask you to seriously consider committing to reestablishing the habit of a daily quiet time with Jesus, reading, reconnecting, learning from God. The Bible says this in Proverbs 15:14. A wise person is hungry for truth, while the fool feeds on trash. Now, you ought to print that verse out and tape it on your TV, right? Or maybe make it the lock screen on your smartphones. Because you can either feed on truth or you can feed on trash. And whatever you fill your mind with, that is what's going to come out. Garbage in, garbage out. So if you want to be wise, You need to feed your mind on wisdom and on the truth, not on trash. There are other things that you can fill your life with. There are actually three categories. There's poison that you can fill your mind with in terms of content. There is junk food, and there is health food. And what poison is, those are things that poison your system. They're things that destroy you. Things like pornography that destroy your mind. You should not be reading 50 Shades of any color. If you are, that's foolish. God says, don't do that. It's poison because you're filling your mind with what is foolish. You're filling your mind with poison. And we're so worried constantly about what we put in our bodies, those that are health conscious, whether our water is pure, whether our food is clean. And yet we spend no time focusing on what we're putting in our mind. And as a result, we put in poison. Maybe you say, I can watch that stuff. It doesn't really bother me anymore. Whew, man, that's the problem. It doesn't even bother you anymore. We've become so desensitized to things in our culture that evil doesn't bother us anymore. And I would tell you that if you watch stuff that is profane, blasphemous, evil, vile, abusive, and it doesn't bother you anymore, you have a problem. You've become a fool. You're allowing poison into your mind. Wise people protect their mind. Wise people put on the helmet of salvation and they keep poison out of their mind. The second thing we put in our mind is junk food. Now, it's not necessarily good or bad. Junk food is just that. It's kind of junk. And the problem with junk food is it's most of the stuff you see on TV, it's not bad. It's not destroying your mind or anything like that. But what it does is it just fills your mind with stuffing. And when we veg out in front of a TV for 4 hours on end, often we are too full of stuffing, of junk food, to spend time with the Lord. We're full. Our capacity is full. It's not good nor bad necessarily, but do we really need it? The wise person is constantly asking that question, do I really need this? And then the third category is obviously it's health food, it's soul food, it's nutritional food, and that is truth. That is wisdom. That is the word of God. And the wise person feeds on truth. If I want to learn what it is to be wise, the L, I need to listen to God's word every day. The E in learn, how do you learn to be wise, is enlist friends who challenge me. Enlist friends who challenge me. If you're going to be wise in your life, you need to have wise people surrounding you. And if you don't have any friends that encourage you in your relationship with the Lord, you need to enlist them. You need to seek them out. You don't need to be popular. You don't need a million friends. You just need a few close friends that are going to build you up, not tear you down, that are going to help you grow. Friends that will help you grow. Friends, it is very, very difficult, maybe impossible, to grow spiritually if you are in isolation. We grow in community. We grow in connection to other human beings, to other Christians. That's why we talk about small groups all the time here at TKC. We actually believe this. We believe that you cannot grow spiritually by yourself. Sorry, you just can't do it. You could go become a hermit or a monk, and you could climb to the top of a mountain, and you could read every book that's ever written, and you would grow in knowledge. You certainly would, but you would not grow in wisdom. And the reason for that is because most of wisdom, almost all of wisdom, is relational in nature. If you look at the book of Proverbs, so much of the wisdom is based on how to interact with other human beings. The Bible says wisdom is all about love, and God is love. Wisdom is all about relationships. That's why a lot of people have educational degrees, and their marriages are falling apart. They're educated, but they're not wise. And what you can do to find out if someone is wise is to look at their relationships. Proverbs 13:20 says this, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." So do you have anyone in your life that is giving input for good and for God? Do you have people in your life that are encouraging you in your relationship with the Lord on a regular basis? If so, that's what a small group is. That's what a small group is. You don't need to meet up with them every day. You just need to meet with people regularly that encourage you in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe that's once a week. Maybe that's once every other week. And that's what we want everyone in our church to do. Over the next 6 weeks, we want you to become connected to a group, to check it out, to try it, to see what we're talking about, and to test and see if it's true or not. How big is a group? If you're curious, I'm not talking 10 people. I'm not talking 8 people. Actually, in a small group, the smaller, the better. A small group is just 3 people. That's how it starts. If it's just two, that's not a group, that's a duo. Actually, that's a date, and it's fine. If you want to go on a date, no problem, but that's not small group. So if you want to join a group over the next 6 weeks, what we're going to be doing is going through a DVD study, like I mentioned, and we're going to be going through these things together. So you can fill out a card, you can find me, but what actually I would encourage you to do is if you want to become part of a group, just think of one friend that would go through this DVD study with you and ask them to be part of your group and have them ask one friend. There you go. You got three. You got a group. If that's something you want to do, I will give you the books. I will give you the DVDs. I will give you everything that you need. You can do this. You can do this. Now, some of you will say, Mark, I'm too busy. I don't have time to be in community. I just don't. That's probably true. In this area, there's a lot of people that feel that way. But let me ask you this. If you made wiser decisions, would you have more time in your life? Yes, you would. So what I'm asking you to do is to seek wisdom by being connected to other human beings that can encourage you in wisdom. Because the promise of Scripture is that if you become wise, then your days will be multiplied. You will have more time. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You need spiritual input from your friends. And there's the third key. So you listen to the Lord every day. You listen to God's word. Then you enlist some friends that will encourage and equip you and give input into your life. And then the A in learn is ask questions and accept correction. If you want to be wise in your life, you're going to have to learn how to ask wise questions. You're going to have to learn how to accept correction. The Bible says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. In other words, everybody's got something to teach you. It's like deep water. You've just got to be able to draw it out. Everybody's brilliant, just on different subjects. You know some things that I don't know. I know some things that you don't know. The person next to you knows some things that no one else knows. And I love this quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says this. He says, every man I meet is my superior in something. And of that, I learn from him. If we want to be wise, that should be our mentality. Proverbs 18:15 says this, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. But the key is listening. If you don't listen, if you're doing all the talking, then you're not going to grow. You've got to learn how to listen. The same is true in a small group. If you're curious how a small group goes, the host of the small group actually talks the least. Ideally, the host talks the least and listens the most. So if you're really shy, you should want to host a small group. It's perfect. You just read the question, listen to everyone's answers, help facilitate. Man, that's the dream if you're an introvert. You should definitely talk to me about hosting a small group. But you can learn from anybody if you're willing to listen. And that's the mark of a wise woman. That is the mark of a wise man. You are always in listening mode. You are always in learning mode. Proverbs 19:27 says, cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. In other words, if you stop learning, you will forget what you already know. Isn't that true? Anyone remember calculus? Oh, come on. No, you don't. Math teachers. That's what they are. The United States Air Force says this. They say that 90 to 95% of everything that we heard 72 hours ago, we have already forgotten. Now, as a preacher, as a pastor, that is the most depressing statistic in the world. That means that by Wednesday of this past week, you have forgotten everything that Pastor Bill said last week. He doesn't even know what he said last week. And he preached it, right? We forget so easily. And so the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. So if you're not writing things down, you can look all spiritual, you can sit out there and be like, yes, I agree. But if you're not writing things down, if you're not working to reinforce and remember what you learn, then you're not going to learn much. So that's the R in learn, is remember and reinforce what I learn. You can't just learn it. You've got to remember it. You've got to reinforce it so that you don't have to learn the same lesson over and over again. We have trouble remembering. And so we have to retain things in order to remember them. We have to write things down. That's why we give you sermon outlines so that those can help you. We also encourage you to memorize Scripture, to memorize scripture. The Bible says this about wisdom in Proverbs 22. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you, note this, keep them within you. If all of them are ready on your lips. In other words, memorize and be ready to quote scripture. People say, Mark, I can't remember anything. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You remember what's important to you. You remember what you love. You remember what matters to you. For instance, you may say to me, Mark, I can't memorize the Bible. It's too hard. Man, I'm sure that you know down to the decimal your fantasy scores from last week in fantasy football because you care about it. You know, there's people here that remember every single statistic for the last season, or they say, I can't remember the Bible, but they quote popular song lyrics like that, or they can give you a recipe for something, or they can give you the exact value of their Apple stock right now, because you remember what's important to you. And if the truth becomes important to you, if God's word becomes important to you, you will seek to remember it, to reinforce it, to rehearse it in your mind, to review it in your life, to apply it to your circumstances. The Bible is so important. We should seek to remember what it says. And people say, why should I remember the Bible? Why should I memorize it? I have it on my phone all the time. The truth is, whenever we need the truth that is in Scripture, we don't have a Bible with us. We don't have it pulled up to the exact verse that's going to encourage us, right? We just don't. And you may go to work this week and someone's going to criticize you. I hope this doesn't happen to you, but often it does. Someone's going to discourage you. Someone's going to say something mean to you, and you're going to feel down and discouraged. But you shouldn't feel discouraged. The Bible is full of literally thousands of verses that could encourage your heart, that could build you up, if only you knew them, if only they could come to mind. Also, memorize scripture, I would say, is one of the best ways to overcome temptation. Because when you start to become tempted to be jealous or to be insecure or to lose your patience or to get angry or to lust or any kind of temptation in life, overeating, exaggerating, whatever it is, if you've got a verse memorized for that, God can call it to your mind at the right moment to help you resist that temptation. But if you don't have anything in there, there's nothing that can be called to your mind. Here's what the Bible says. In Proverbs 4, it says, let my words not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. So if you want life, you need to fill your mind with truth. Fill your mind with truth. Let it penetrate your heart. Memorize it so that God can bring it to your mind. Now the last thing, the fifth thing, the N in learn that we're going to do over the next 6 weeks. This fifth thing is now do it. N stands for now do it. I listen to the truth. I enlist friends to discuss the truth. I ask questions. I remember and reinforce the truth. Now I do the truth. You can't just talk the talk. You got to do it. And let's suppose that after this Sunday, I go home and I think, you know what? I really like to get back in shape. It's been a while since I've been in shape. So I pull out my favorite exercise and fitness book and I kick back in my lazy boy and I'm reading and I got my chips and guacamole. I got my ham sandwich and my 32-ounce Slurpee, and I'm just reading, and I'm like, man, this passage on dieting is so good. And so I underline it, and I'm like, man, I gotta highlight this. I'm gonna write a little note out in the margin that says, love this. And then I'm gonna post a picture of it on Instagram. Man, isn't that what we do with God's word all the time? If you don't get out of the lazy boy chair, it doesn't mean anything. It's foolishness. It's a waste of my breath up here, and it's a waste of your time out there. It's self-deception. Here's what the Bible says in James 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So I just shared with you five ways that you can grow in wisdom in your life. L-E-A-R-N. And the question is, are you going to do anything about it? If there was a moment of conviction for you in anything that was said here this morning, are you going to be obedient? It's not complicated. Just respond to the Lord's pushing in your heart. If you're a Christian, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit and he is speaking to you. He always speaks to you through his word. And if he's convicted your heart to action in any way, respond to it. Be obedient. Step up. Get wise. God does not bless good intentions. God blesses wise choices. And God says, it's your move. It's your choice. Will you do the wise thing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,